This is Dan Hansis of the Around the NFL podcast. On our latest episode, we talked about Nick Foles going out of town in Los Angeles, Devin Hester exiting the picture. Way to go, Greg. And then we talk about some coaches whose butts are getting warm because they could be on the hot seat in 2016.
I am not responsible for any release.
Hope you're proud of yourself. Check out the Around the NFL podcast.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? James Coe here on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. Full house, as always. We got MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What's up?
What's going on?
The magical beard of fantasy, the franchise, Matt Franciscovich. What's going on?
Hey, James.
Alex Gelhar, the whiz kid from Wisconsin. What's going on?
Excited to be two times a week now.
That's right.
This is the inaugural two times a week.
You know what's nice. So funny? My schedule this week has been so out of control. I totally forgot that today was our second podcast of the week.
I know. So it's you great. Asked fans, we've answered, and for those of you that want even more, we're going to be going three times a week
that
during this
just
season.
That is just straight banana pants.
Yep. You're going to have more of us than you ever could have possibly imagined, and it's going to be great.
And we've got West Virginia's finest. We've got Matt Harmon on the podcast as well. What's up?
My feelings are hurt for multiple reasons. You went into a whole complaint about your schedule before even introducing me, and then you come back with the West Virginia.
He has to build his narrative, man. He
brother,
has to.
Look, it's about me. Okay,
typical.
let's
typical.
I don't know what happened. I feel like Harmon ate several tablespoons of salt before he came in because he's been on one.
This
podcast is going to be flames
because the season
fired
is
up.
The season is approaching, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Breaking news. Yeah. The football is going to be back soon.
Wait, what?
Yeah. By the way, it's coming back, and I've been training my body to get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep because that's just what's going to happen anyways.
Okay.
But last night I magically slipped into 6, so I'm feeling a little bit better this morning than I am. Get excited.
Look out, everybody.
Holy hell. What is going on? Got a lot of things to promote here, but we got a great show in front of us here today. We're going to do a quick 12-team. We did a 12-team mock
on Monday. Yep.
Was it? It seems like ages.
I know. It's crazy. I was like, when did we do this? It was four days ago.
12-team mock draft. We're going to do a quick recap, give you some highlights of that. We're going to talk about some training camp battles to watch for because we are in full swing in regards to training camp. Oh, by the way. Wait a second. We also on the rundown here, we have something called a Gelhar surprise segment.
Yeah.
We're
going
to get to that. I literally have
terrified.
No idea.
No, on the rundown, they can all attest, I just put a bunch of asterisks
and
then
question
it says
marks.
Gelhar surprise segment, and underneath explaining the segment, it's just about 12 question marks.
Can I take like some meta level guesses at what this might be?
No. Nope.
No, don't spoil it.
No. Not. I said meta, like it's not specific. If I know Gelhar, this will either be something painfully dad level lame, or really like really good and exciting.
Oh,
that's
wow!
we got a wide range
of outcomes.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all I'm saying.
No middle ground. Well, okay. if I can tease the fans that what's going to come, it's going to be on the awesome side.
Okay.
Oh,
but
awesome
James,
song.
Speaking of training camp, don't we have something?
Oh, we got plenty of stuff. We got the show called ITC Live Fantasy Spotlight. You catch that just about every single day now, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. That programming, there's 200 total hours of training camp coverage here on NFL Network.
Wow.
If you are a football fiend, this is the time. You just leave your TV on NFL Network and just go ham. That's it. It's great. It is awesome. By the way, you can also sign up for fantasy. You should do it today. NFL.com/fantasy. If you are deep into the draft, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you are deep into the draft. How about NFL.com/draft kit to get all the information that you need? We got sleepers. We got busts. We got deep sleepers. We got breakout candidates. We got our favorite players. We got all kinds of great stuff. Draft, fantasy draft material, NFL.com/draft kit. But let's get right into it. Here's your top headlines for today.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
The whistles go. Woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
Top story in football, top story in fantasy yesterday, no doubt about it. Ryan Fitzpatrick coming back home.
We got the band back together, everybody.
Man, it was funny how fired up Brandon Marshall was, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was hyped, man.
Which, how do you Makes feel sense. About that if you're Geno Smith, though, right? Like, you were all set to start and be the quarterback, and this other guy shows up, and now your wide receiver is, like, you know, tweeting out praises and, like, taking selfies. Like, how do you
well,
feel?
Well, listen, well, first of all, he tweeted out, horses don't stop.
I mean, that's like another punch in the, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, it was pretty telling, too, right, that, like, the Jets skill players or offensive players – were essentially begging Fitz to come back.
There was a
while Geno Smith is prepping for the season, they're begging for Fitz to come
there
back.
There were talks of a protest, a sit out, sit in.
Oh, that is good stuff. But he's back. Look, Fitzpatrick is kind of one of those matchup-based fantasy quarterbacks. I get it. Okay, that's fine. But I think what fantasy fans are really excited about is what it means for Brandon Marshall and your boy, Eric Decker.
Oh, yeah.
So 1,514, that was basically the numbers for Brandon Marshall last year. He's, you know, we're seeing him go early third, late second round right now. Do you think that's a good price for him? Does it get back to 1,514?
I mean, that's a little high.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's a lot. But I think he's with Fitzpatrick back in there, I feel safe taking him in the second round again.
Pretty safe floor.
I wasn't sure. Yeah, pretty safe floor. I wasn't sure about it if Geno was back there, but.
Oh, if Geno's back, there's no way in touching Brandon Marshall. There's no
right,
way.
Right. I'd say he's more of a fourth-round pick maybe if Geno's there. But
okay.
Yeah, I'm cool taking him in the second round again.
Marcus has a very uninterested look.
No, I'm totally on board with taking him in the second round. I guess just because I didn't believe – yeah, I don't think Geno is exactly on Fitzpatrick's level, but let's not pretend like Ryan Fitzpatrick is some sort of Hall of Fame quarterback. Like
he's not. Yeah.
He had a great year last year. There's no doubt about it, but yeah. – I mean, I guess I was always of the opinion that Geno could do something similar. And so, I mean, I guess if it was Geno, I think Brandon Marshall drops to maybe the third round for me. But it's not like a precipitous fall. I think yeah. He still would have been okay.
Yeah, I never really was backing off of Marshall anyways, regardless of the quarterback position, because I think the targets were so secure there. I wrote up the Jets preview for our draft kit, and
okay.
Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall combined for 51% of the team targets. And like that regression from Marshall, who was a top five wide receiver, I think he was a wide receiver three in standard leagues, that was kind of already priced into his current draft cost. Like, he wasn't going to end the first round, so people weren't expecting him to do what he did again last year. I was fine with it either way, but, yeah, Fitzpatrick makes it a little more secure. He's just a great fit for the system.
I just think, again, man, I've got Brandon Marshall on my I hate calling it a bust list. It's all relative to
players AP. To avoid.
Players to avoid.
That's
well,
the
no,
PC term, James.
Because, no, I know. Because it's relative to their draft price.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I get Brandon Marshall in the fifth round, of course, I'm not going to call this guy a bust.
Right.
I'd love that guy in the fifth round. But a second round draft price for me, man, that's a lot. Especially for a guy who I think actually has a pretty look, I think there's going to be some regression. I don't know about the floor is what I'm saying. What's a safe floor for this guy? I think 1,200 and, like, 8 is pretty safe floor.
For Brandon Marshall? Yeah. And I'm on board with that.
Sure. I think he's got one of the best floors of any of these guys that's in the top three rounds. I mean, outside of the obvious stud candidates because, you know, he saw 170 targets last year. There's just not many other options to throw the ball to. And Chan Gailey's offense is consistently ranked, you know, pretty high in pass attempts. They were 13th last year. They were 10th in 2010 or 2011. In 2008 with Kansas City, before he resurfaced, they were ninth. I mean, they throw the ball a lot there.
This helps Forte too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, not a ton, but it's good to have more stable quarterback play under there, or at least more of a known commodity than what we would be getting with Geno.
Touchdown potential as well increases considerably, I think.
I don't know if it increases considerably. He's never been a goal line back.
I just meant for the offense.
Oh, yeah. For the offense in general. Maybe a touch-up, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got two the GOAT, Eric Decker, at scoring touchdowns. That's what he's good at. So it doesn't
There's
really
another guy I'm worried about. I mean, 1,000 yards, limited receptions, double-digit touchdowns. Does he get to double-digit touchdowns again? It just seems unlikely.
Okay,
all right.
Wow, I don't understand your hate
What does Eric Decker have to do to get respect from people like you?
I don't have hate for Eric Decker.
If you have hate in your heart, let it out.
No, I'm just saying he had 1,000 yards, and his fantasy value was – very touchdown dependent.
And he, but all he ever does is score touchdowns
every week.
Yeah, is that not true? I mean,
machine.
Okay, come on.
I believe he had 80 yards or a touchdown in every game he played last year. He's one of the most consistent fantasy options around.
I'm just saying. You really banking on double digit touchdowns again for Eric Decker?
He's an elite red zone threat.
I mean,
so
it would
get close.
It would only be the fourth year out of his.
I was gonna say he's done it three. Yeah. He's done it three out of the last 4 years. So I mean that
you're banking on.
Man.
All right. We're moving.
Oh jeez, let's move on.
All right. How about Bruce Arians?
How about?
I don't like what he's saying here. He's saying it could be a the RB workload in Arizona could be a game by game. Type thing, and what was he referencing, a hot hand approach?
Yeah, they asked about David Johnson. He said, oh, if he's hot, he'll stay in there, which, thanks, Bruce, because we know David Johnson's going to stay hot, so he's not coming off the field. This is hilarious coach speak
right
now.
Don't you take this from us, Bruce Arians. We don't have a lot. When it comes to running backs, we don't have much. Don't you take this from us.
Like, this doesn't concern me at all, as I put on Twitter afterwards, and I hope people – I mean, if people want to let it affect their draft boards and let David Johnson slide to me, then great. Thank you. Please. But here's how I see this playing out. Either it's complete smokescreen, and they're just going to feed David Johnson because we saw what he could do, and if you watched All or Nothing – on Amazon, which everybody should do, you know how highly that organization thinks of David Johnson.
Right.
But if Arians is like, well, we're going to ride the hot hand, he's going to put Chris Johnson in there, who's old and a little worn down, not going to be as effective. We're going to put DJ in. He's going to make a big play, and then that's the end of it.
You know, I also kind of think – I wonder, too, if he's doing this because so many people are so hyper on DJ.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, he's trying to send DJ a little bit of a message.
People are hyper on DJ because Bruce Arians hyped him up.
I think people are hyped on DJ because he's a freak of nature athlete. And we saw that last year.
You can't start a fire and then say, hey, you know, that's a little out of control. You lit the fire, right? And so now he's trying to, like, you know, tamp it down and throw a little water on it.
Right.
Don't take this from us, Bruce. All right.
You know, and let's not forget, Bruce Arians might not – I love Bruce Arians.
He's great.
He's probably my favorite coach in the NFL right now. But let's not remember, you know, he's maybe not the best at, like, projecting backfield workloads when he said that he was going to give Andre Ellington, like, 30 touches a game.
Oh, right.
That's true.
In 2014 or whatever. Right. So, yeah, let's relax.
The one other thing that I've brought up before, too, is, like, the Cardinals have that luxury where they have the depth at running back. So, like,
it's true. You
know, if David Johnson fumbles a couple times or tweaks his knee or something.
Which he did a fair amount last year. They just didn't lose them all. He put it on the turf, like, four or five times, I think.
Right.
And only, like, one of them was scooped up by the other team.
Yeah. So, I mean, rookies sometimes have ball security issues, but, I mean, they have the depth there where if something happens to Johnson, they can bench him and they can feel okay with Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
As the bell cow for a couple drives or whatever.
Or Ellington even.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. It's not it's literally not the worst thing in the world if they give Chris Johnson or Andre Ellington some burn every now and again.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, they should. Yeah. I mean, as much as I'd love to see DJ get like 350 touches all around, we don't want him to wear down.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I think we saw that too with Latavius Murray, that I think Murray knew that there wasn't a lot of running back depth behind him. I think he honestly was playing it about 75% the entire game.
Yeah.
And he didn't ever go full throttle. I'm actually really excited about Latavius Murray. It's totally sidebar, but I'm excited about Latavius Murray because they actually brought in a guy in DeAndre Washington that can
spell
him.
Right. Absolutely.
Murray was that freak before David Johnson, too.
That's right. All right, let's go to Seattle. Thomas Rawls won't be ready for camp, that according to Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll says that, Thomas Rawls should be still in line to play for week one. I mean, there's a lot of training camp, a lot of preseason games to get to, but right now Thomas Rawls is not ready for camp. What do we make of the news?
This is so interesting because Rawls' ADP has fluctuated this entire offseason. At the end of last season, early mock drafts and stuff, he was
second round pick. Yep.
Then he was plummeting to, like, 7th, 8th round because we had no idea on his timetable. Now, like, Fabs in our latest, I think it was in the 12th teamer actually, said he got him in the 4th round and thought that was a steal, which at this point, I don't feel great about Rawls in the 4th round, to be completely honest with you, because if week one is still in jeopardy and they went and drafted all these backs that have been getting hype all throughout the offseason in ProSize and Alex Collins and everything, and let's not forget the truth is still out there with Kristen Michael. Like,
the truth.
There are too many question marks around Rawls right now for me to feel great until we see him on the field or they come out with absolute certainty and say he's our week one starter.
When did he get injured? I mean, it hasn't really been that long.
It was fairly late in the season. It was pretty late in the season.
It was week 14 against the Ravens, I think.
A broken ankle. I mean,
it was bad.
It was weird to me that, you know, guys like Michael Fabiano and other fantasy experts that were very high on him coming in, I'm like, I mean, we're not talking about a sprained ankle. We're talking about a broken ankle. Mm-hmm. In late in the season, I was a little bit confused as to why he was going so high in the first place. But I hope he comes back, and I hope he's healthy because, man, when he ran with that anger. He ran with that passion,
oh,
man.
Yeah. He was like a
– it was awesome to watch that guy run.
Baby beast mode, they were calling
him. It was great.
The thing that I think we've undersold about Seattle all offseason is that they played their best guys. They're a team that has bred on competition. Mm-hmm. And whoever – no matter your draft slot, no matter what money we've paid you.
Right.
They will play their best players. And if they get into camp and Alex Collins gets the hot hand, they'll play Alex Collins. I mean, That's how Thomas Rawls, who was an undrafted free agent, rose to prominence anyways.
That's how Russell Wilson –
right.
Rose to
They, paid Matt Flynn a bunch of money.
Yeah,
and
they
then
paid Matt Flynn a bunch of cash in the offseason.
Russ
then
outplayed him.
Right, that's right.
I'm just waiting because we've been talking about the Seattle backfield for all about 2 minutes now.
Okay.
And franchise has not mentioned the name C.J. Pro.
Oh, I'm over here. I'm ready to drop it.
He's showing some restraint. We're real proud of him.
You mean this year's number one PPR running back?
Yeah, there's still singe on the carpet down there from last time we talked about
Procise. Look, we already know Procise is going to be the third down back, so Rawls' ADP makes sense. I mean, his ADP on NFL.com right now is round 7. That's a little low.
That's low.
Yeah. If he's
that's
maybe low. Getting the
too much down. Upside to take him that late.
We right. probably have to bump him up in the rankings a bit, too.
I agree with that. All right, how about Anquan Boldin? He signs with the Lions.
Don't care.
Cool. Wow.
Wow. Can I say this? I think it might impact Golden Tate more than Marvin Jones, but even for both guys, I think it impacts them very little.
It's minor.
Go ahead, Mark.
I love Anquan Boldin. He put in a lot of good years in San Francisco with the 49ers. Anquan Boldin, at this point in his career, is the guy. If you are an actual NFL coach,
okay,
you want Anquan Boldin on your team because he brings so many things to your roster.
He's a great pro.
He's not a good fantasy player.
No.
He's just not going to – he's not going to get enough catches. He's not going to get enough yards. He's not going to score enough touchdowns to really make an impact.
You know what's going to happen, though.
He's going to score all sorts of touchdowns.
He's going to wear the hoodie. He's going to bring back the ghost of James Jones.
He's going to be James Jones now?
He's going to bring back the ghost of James Jones. He's going to be that rando vet that you thought was done.
Is there a, like, passing of the hoodie ceremony where, like, there's some candles lit and Jones has a hoodie up and he has the real hoodie, though, that he passes to Boldin?
You know what's going to happen. You know exactly what's going to happen. Stafford's going to toss Anquan Boldin 2 touchdowns week 1. There's going to be a massive
– there's a logic issue here.
Okay.
Why would he wear the hoodie in the dome?
Who cares?
It's way too hot.
Hey, James
logic
Jones –
logic is not a buddy. Place in hoodie talk.
James Jones was wearing the hoodie, like, in Oakland. It was, like, 75 degrees.
I think he wore it in Arizona, too.
Just cut the sleeves off.
So like Marcus was saying, I think it's a really good real-life move for the Lions, who had a depleted depth chart of wide receiver. They were relying – like Corey Fuller, who was a player.
It got
was on the
scary
pump.
After Marvin Jones.
Yeah. T.J. Jones, Andre Caldwell, Andre Roberts, Jeremy Curley. Like, that was their kind of guy for a third wide receiver. So Anquan Boldin's a nice addition for them, but I think, like, you know, there's just such a dearth of targets there that it's going to still flow through Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. But I kind of like what you're saying, James, about Golden Tate. Like, I could see it affecting his, like, he could have led the NFC in receptions this year. I think Evan Silva has talked about that a lot, but I don't know if that's in play.
You remember when Kendall Wright had, like, 90-some receptions and 2 touchdowns?
Yeah.
That's what's scaring me about Golden Tate right now, is because all of his touchdowns last year came, like, within 5 yards of the end zone.
Yeah.
And Boldin's a better red zone threat than Tate because he can work out of the slot just as well.
Strong,
and he's a bigger body. And
Jones is a great red zone threat too.
Yeah, so is Jones. So that scares me a little bit about Tate. I might have to slide him down because of his touchdown potential now.
I do. I mean, the thing I like about the Detroit offensive players this year, though, is that their defense is projected to be really bad, right? So, like, you know, if that's the case, you like attaching, you know, fantasy value to the offensive side of the ball if the defense is really bad, because they're going to be playing in a lot more shootouts.
For sure.
Look, it's the time of the season, training camp, where a lot of vets are being put on the pup, NFI. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone in particular? I mean, there's Jamal Charles, Jordy Nelson, Tyler Eifert. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the pup right now. I don't want to go through them all, but is there anybody on this list, guys, that you guys see that does actually give you some cause for concern? Because the thing with the training camp pump is, I mean, quite, you could come off of it at
any time.
So it's not like he's going to miss the first 6 games of the season.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one that I want to watch is Ladarius Green, though, because we're all excited about his potential in Pittsburgh there, but he's been nicked up a couple times this offseason.
He's got that ankle surgery.
Ankle surgery right now,
that he
now
had the offseason, yeah.
So him being on there is curious, because if he misses all those extra reps to get in sync with Ben Roethlisberger and learn the offense and stuff, that could slow him down coming out of the gate a little bit, and that'll have a trickle-down effect on that whole passing attack then, whether targets go more towards Marcus Wheaton or Jesse James or Sammy Coates. So that's one I'm definitely going to be watching.
DHB.
DHB, too. How could I forget?
This year's Ted Ginn.
I'm looking at Ryan Matthews, not because it's like something major. In fact, I just saw a tweet as we were sitting here saying he's expected back next week. But it's more of every time you start to maybe get on board and you're just reminded of his injury history. So for everybody who was kind of on the fence, who wasn't sure, who was like thinking maybe you take a chance, now all of a sudden you're backing away again because it just seems that this continues to happen.
It's a great offense that he is projected to be in, especially for a running back with Doug Peterson. And you would think that his skill set would match up perfectly with what Doug Peterson would want to do, and I think that's why so many people are so excited to see what Ryan Matthews can do from a fantasy perspective. But, man, that injury history does scare me. Sure. I think he's played a full 16 just once in his career, in his 6 or 7 year career.
Maybe once or twice. One year might have been like 14.
I would have been shocked if he's done it more than once.
Jordy Nelson kind of worries me a little bit.
Me too.
All right.
It's a separate knee from the one that it's not the ACL. It's something else that's bothering him. It just is a reminder that, you know, he's 31 years old now.
Yeah.
He's getting up there. And I think that his presence when he gets on the field is still a big deal for this offense, regardless of what he puts up from a fantasy perspective. But I'm feeling more and more like Randall Cobb is the guy to draft in Green Bay. You get him a little bit of a discount. Marcus just wrote a great banger on him on the website. So, yeah.
Bust a move, baby.
He's coming back. What'd you say in there? Top 15?
If he's not top 15, something went horribly wrong.
And I agree with that. So,
and look, Jordy Nelson's going in the second round right now, so there's some risk there. And like you said, he's getting older. A guy like Kelvin Benjamin, who had a similar injury at the same time last season in the preseason, he's on the field in camp making plays already. So, like, the
looks
age,
doggone good.
Right.
According
to Ron, the age thing there is starting to be a factor, I think, for Jordy.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about Kenneth Dixon. Suffered what was reported as a
grade one.
MCL
yep.
Sprain in his knee. The Ravens are describing it as not very serious.
Yeah.
Well, grade one is the lowest one you can get to. So
could be gone maybe a week, they're saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like much, but any cause for concern, because we're talking about a guy who is right now not only a rookie, so he's trying to get caught up in the playbook and the speed of the NFL and all that.
It's huge.
But also, I mean, listen, quite frankly, he's just – it's not like he's the presumptive starter here.
No. No, nobody was saying that beforehand, so it certainly might slow him down in, like you said, getting up to speed and earning stuff. But I think this backfield is still very much up for grabs, and whoever flashes the most in the preseason. I mean, Forsett's going to be the starter day one, but whoever starts to get hot or prove that they can be a difference maker for this offense is going to get the ball. So it might make drafting Kenneth Dixon, as some people have. I know you have, James, like jumping on him in the 8th or 9th round.
Love him there.
Might want to wait a couple rounds.
I know.
He's going before Buck Allen right now.
Well,
I mean, he should.
Yeah. Shocking to hear some realism from you two about Kenneth Dixon for once. He was the only pick on your team that I highlighted in our mock draft that I hated.
Oh, hey now.
Wow.
RB 37, 8th round.
Can I defend myself for a moment?
A
you know
early.
I love Kenneth Dixon, but his situation, I feel I have been quite realistic and my expectations have been largely tempered with Kenneth Dixon.
I guess. Maybe more and more as you've actually been listening to me, sure.
Oh, for God's sake.
No, but I think I like Kenneth Dixon too. I think he's a great talent, but this just really kind of puts him off my radar at that draft price, because you'll probably whoever ends up taking him in the 8th round, if you're not getting early season impact from him, he'll end up on the wire, and then if he's actually playing well at the end of the year, you can pick him up.
We will circle around back to that, because I'll defend that pick all day long, but we'll circle around to that.
All
how
right.
about Josh Doctson there in Washington, a lingering Achilles injury? This has me worried for reals.
Yeah,
well, so like why I put this on is because originally it surfaced that Doctson was probably going to be behind Jamison Crowder, too, because as we've mentioned on this podcast, that Washington pass-catching corps is deep right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
D-Jax, Pierre Garçon, Crowder, Jordan Reed, and they've got Doctson, who's an awesome talent and will probably push to get on the field, but if he was already projected to be a little bit behind those guys, and now he's got a lingering Achilles injury, and I like how Doctson's like, I know my body. I'm fine. I'm like, whoa, bro, this is an Achilles injury.
Also, you're 22. You don't know anything.
Yeah,
right.
Let's slow down.
He's 23, I think.
But anyways, like,
because, like, stop, bro.
So why I put this on here is because some people have been liking taking a late round flyer on him because of his talent and potential red zone prowess, especially if somebody else goes down. But with an Achilles injury and him being farther down on the depth chart, I don't think I'm going to touch him in redraft leagues.
Yeah.
I don't think – yeah, I mean, look, isn't he – he's a dart throw anyways, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, it might have a little bit of an impact overall on the Washington offense because I think he's a tremendous red zone threat. No? I mean –
yeah, he's great.
You look at that wide receiving core, there's not anybody who's like, okay, let me just jump over a guy. Like, I love D-Jax and everything, but it's like if he's not scoring from 40 yards out, he's not scoring. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Pierre Garçon's a big body.
A little bit, but, you know, I think Doxson has that not only big body but just the extreme athleticism too.
Right.
So,
and, you know, he's a rookie. I think if this lingers, like, they're not going to push him to get on the field because they have so much depth.
It's true.
So
I thought Jameson Crowder was a great find for them last year, too.
Yeah,
he was.
So there you go.
Nice slot receiver.
All right, let's talk about this 12-teamer, yeah?
Let's do it.
So we did the 12-team mock on Monday. 12-team is my absolute favorite. I feel like it's the sweet spot, right? Because 10-team, by the time you get to the 13th, 14th round, there's still plenty of guys you like.
Oh, absolutely. If you're playing in 10 teams, get more friends.
Wow.
And then when you get to
like
the
– Harmon is on a heater.
No, honestly, seriously, the 10 teams, I'm completely with James on this. And I hate that we always do 10-team mock drafts because, like – yeah, everybody's team ends up looking good at the end. You tweet out your roster and everybody's like, man, great team. But it's like, yeah, there's plenty of guys that –
except for every time we recap one of these, at least one of us is here like, I hated my team.
I hated my team in this mock draft, that's for sure.
But 12 team, you get to that sweet spot where, like, you get to those double-digit rounds and you're like, yeah. Like, I saw Jerick McKinnon come off the board in round 10. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. Here we go.
You actually have to know
players,
like, know some deep players.
Yeah,
know some players, know some situations. Take some flyers. So I do like it.
Let's get to this real quick. Also, quick shout-out to Justin – is it Bonema?
Justin Bonema.
Bonema from Football Guys and Jake Seeley from Roto Experts because they jumped in with us. We were neat. We had a couple people drop out. Money had a last-minute doctor appointment and stuff, so we needed to get a few more bodies in. Friends from the fantasy community on Twitter jumped in and had pretty good drafts too.
Yeah, you can follow Jake at All In Kid on Twitter and Justin at Justin Bonnema.
There you go.
From Football Guys.
And the rest of the cast and crew, you kind of know it's all of us in here, and we had some producers as well on the NFL Fantasy Live side, in particular Dylan Milner. Who else we got?
Haitham Kalani and Alex Wilk.
Okay, there you go. All right, so there you go. So that was our 12. Who'd like to start?
I'll go through my team real quick. I went running back heavy again. I picked five, and David Johnson fell to me. Off the top, it went Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Beckham, no surprise. Fabs took Todd Gurley at four, so I jumped on David Johnson at two.
Love it.
And then coming back around, it was a toss-up for me between Ingram, Alshon Jeffrey, or Lacy. Maybe I was being a homer. I decided on Lacy, but as cut as he looks in training camp, I'm feeling better about that pick.
Oh, yeah.
The trouble is, though, then, with this being a 12-teamer, wide receiver thinned out real quickly after that because there were eight picks that went before I went again in the third round, and five wide receivers went. So that left me with Amari Cooper as my wide receiver one.
I like it.
I don't mind it. I think his ceiling might be a little lower than some are projecting this year, but I also think he has a decent floor, so as long as he takes that step and is healthy this year, I'm okay with it.
That dude could push 1,200
yards. I was extremely happy, though, with my running backs in this league because I have David Johnson, Eddie Lacy, and then in rounds 5 and 6, I got Latavius Murray and Jonathan Stewart. And as such, I had to kind of take some upside shots later at wide receiver. So Cooper and John Brown are my starters. Then I got Marvin Jones, Tavon Austin, Mohamed Sanu, Mike Wallace, and the GOAT, Jeff Janis, in the later rounds. Overall, I felt really happy with this team. I got Carson Palmer and Kobe Fleener in the later rounds as a quarterback tight end.
Yep.
I got a lot of questions when I put this out there because I have a lot of Cardinals on this team, and I have multiple Raiders and multiple Cardinals, and people
right.
are like, are you worried about that? And I said, absolutely not. Like, I honestly never look at bye weeks when
don't,
I draft.
Don't look at it at all.
Because, like, people, if you're taking hits to your team because you're like, well, I don't want to have two guys off in the same week, you're diminishing your roster for the rest of the season. Whereas I'll take the L on that one week if my whole team is off
right.
and just crush people the rest of the rest of the weeks.
Yeah, and if it's a great offense like the Cardinals, you want to pluck as many great
right.
pieces from that.
Right.
I would agree with that. It's great advice, too, by the way. I love that. I generally tend to ignore bye weeks as well. All right, Franchise, what's up with your draft?
So I had second overall pick.
Okay.
And I never get my boy Antonio Brown in any of these mocks, and I didn't think I was going to this time. But Justin took Julio Jones with the first pick.
Which, by the way, can we just – I mean, not that it's a terrible pick. It's just
–
that was a name that none of us had ever
surprise.
Thought.
It's a shocker, right?
It was. It
He's
was.
Up there with the top three, but, like, you don't expect him to go first overall. I got my guy, Antonio Brown. On the way back around, which I waited like 22 picks, I got Mark Ingram as my RB1. I think he's got great upside with his.
That's a loss.
With his. I knew it. I knew it.
Relax.
He'll catch 50 balls, 8 touchdowns.
It's a great pick at running back 11. Don't
yeah. He's a beast. And then the worst pick of the entire draft in the third round by me, I took Sammy Watkins.
Is it the worst pick?
Well, especially
I think it's fine.
Considering the guys left on the board, I mean, this was before the Ryan Fitzpatrick news.
Yeah, that's true.
When I was looking at it, I was like Brandon Marshall or Sammy Watkins, and I passed on Marshall because I had Geno Smith in my head. So I went with Watkins because of the upside there.
Yeah, but look at the wide receivers that went after, though.
I mean,
I'd rather have Watkins than, let's say, Amari Cooper or
really?
Randall.
Yeah. For sure. I'm with James.
Did you learn nothing from Davis Maddock earlier this week?
I usually take everything that Davis Maddock says about Sammy Watkins with a grain of salt. He's been trying to die on that hill for about 3 years.
I liked it at the time. Now, looking back, I don't really like the Watkins pick there.
Okay.
And then I went 2 running backs. I got Melvin Gordon and Jay Ajayi.
Let's talk about your Melvin Gordon pick here.
That caught some eyebrows.
It was at the back end of the fourth round, though.
Come on, bro.
So,
I believe you also, when you made the pick, you said, judge me.
I did. I said, go ahead. Go ahead. Judge me. Look, this is a 12-teamer. Who went before him here?
Well, you have
Thomas Rawls, Matt Forte.
Yeah.
Deion Lewis, Carlos Hyde. And immediately afterwards were Danny Woodhead, you took Ajayi, Ryan Matthews, and I got Latavius Murray.
Yeah, I mean, I would have taken Ryan Murray. Here's the problem with the pick.
I don't like Latavius Murray.
No, I get what you're saying. But here's the one problem with your Melvin Gordon pick is you got to read the room, right? Like, nobody is thinking about Melvin Gordon there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my only problem with your pick is that, look, if you like Melvin Gordon, great. And if you're listening out there and you like a guy, that's great. But you got to read the room.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
I could have got him.
You could have got him later.
Yeah. Right. And then I went on the way back around, a couple picks later, I got Jay Ajayi.
Well, you know, actually looking at it, he might have had to take him with either of his two picks because there went a huge run on running backs after that.
Yeah.
And, like, right coming back around, so he took Gordon as the RB17 and Ajayi as the RB19. Before he would have picked again in round 6, we were up to the RB30. So Gordon easily could have fallen there. So I don't hate it for Franchise wanting to get his guy.
Okay.
I got my guy. That's all.
I mean, it's tough because you're picking 2. That's tough. Yeah. So you're gonna have, I get what you're saying. You got to either make that pick, thinking about in round 5, but
I needed an RB2.
Gamble and maybe see it in round 6.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I went Manny Sanders in the 6th round, D'Angelo Williams in the 7th round. Who, you know, if Bell does get suspended for those 4 games, D'Angelo Williams would probably be my RB2 for the first month.
Right.
See how Melvin Gordon pans out.
This is kind of a good reminder, too. Please don't draft right now.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, since we've done this draft on Monday, so many things
have changed.
Right.
Yeah, wait as long as possible.
And then the other thing I noticed, I ended up with 3 Steelers. So I took Antonio Brown,
Marcus Wheaton,
and D'Angelo Williams. I didn't intend to do that. But
I don't mind.
I mean, Marcus Wheaton's your wide receiver 5.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later on, I got Bilal Powell, Javoris Allen. I got Dwayne Allen in the 12th, which I love. Derek Carr in the 13th as my quarterback, which I love. And then I handcuffed Mark Ingram in the 14th.
Yeah, you got a solid team here, Frances. All
right, Matt Harmon. You hated your draft. Tell me why.
I hated my team so bad. I like.
Which is funny because I kind of liked your team.
I don't like it.
I hate it. I hate it. I like the way I started.
Yeah.
Elliott, Robbins, Allen Robinson, T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief. I love that start.
Which, quick pause, too, because I think you got some questions about why did you draft 2 Colts wide receivers back-to-back?
Again, you know, I think that if you look at last year, we were just consistently benefiting from these super highly concentrated offenses, like I mentioned with Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker absorbing 51% of the team targets. There was also the Raiders with Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. I don't think you would have hated having those two together.
Right.
Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson last year, kind of the same sort of effect. So I think it's a stupid thing to get worked up over.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird things like the bye weeks and players on the same team that people like just get worried about, but if you think about it,
as if there's some sort of scenario where if T.Y. Hilton's going to go off and catch like 10 passes for 170 yards and two touchdowns, and Moncrief catches, you know,
four for 50.
If one's gonna blow up like that, yeah, then you're getting all those points.
You're still getting all the points.
I don't know. It's a weird thing that people. I get it, but it's a weird thing that people get hung up.
And
on.
After that,
I was Krabs memeing the entire draft. Just completely awful. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, looking back on it, I'm still like, why did I take Greg Olsen in the fifth round? Like, I get that. Like, I like Greg Olsen as a pretty clear tight end three this year, but it's the players that went off. I'm shook just talking about it. Like, I guess the players that went ahead, like that run on running backs too. I was like, oh well, somebody like Latavius Murray will follow me in the fifth round after I went three wide receivers in a row.
Right.
He went off the board. So I took. I was just like, "There's no wide receivers I really like. I should have just been aggressive and like taken Tyler Lockett or Marvin Jones, somebody that I really like there." But I went with the safe pick,
Greg Olsen,
and I hated it. And then like coming back around, I'm like, "Man, Drew Brees in the sixth. That sounds really tempting. I'm gonna just pull the trigger." And then this is why I hated it, because when you take a tight end and a quarterback, you know, the onesies position where you can really only start one of them in a standard league,
right?
You're just chasing running back and receiver depth
the rest of
the way. Yeah. And I like Charles Sims this year. I'm really high on him as like a 7th to 9th round pick, but he shouldn't be my RB2 in a standard league like this.
Yeah.
I like Torrey Smith. Arian Foster's a fine dart throw, but then like I'm just like shooting darts the rest of the draft. Like Nelson Aguilar, Laquan Treadwell I'm taking in the 10th round. I hate that. Like as my fifth wide receiver, I don't want that.
And, Spencer Ware.
Well, I like the Spencer Ware pick, like, because then I'm just trying to be like, all right, let me tell myself a story of how this running back can do well.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Gillisley, Zach Zenner, these guys that potentially could have big-time roles if something
shakes
right.
Deep sleeper
types. Yeah, but it's just a bad strategy to go tight end and quarterback early. Like, I could have probably gotten away with Drew Brees or something, but when you take both – You're chasing the rest of the way. It's not good.
I would agree with that.
I feel like I'm going to cry right now.
Breeze is the QB4 too.
I love that. I think he's clearly the QB4 at this point. But I like the Breeze pick. But that's like whenever you take a tight end or a quarterback, look at like where the quarterbacks are going the rest of the way. Like Kirk Cousins in the 12th. You got Derek Carr in the 13th franchise.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, we brought this up a little late, but if you want to follow along with this mock draft, you can find all of them at NFL.com/fantasy-mock-drafts with an S now. We're going to put all the mock drafts in one easy-to-find place.
All right, there
but, yeah, go. As you're pointing out, Harmon, there's that chunk over here in round, 9 and 10 and 11, where there's Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, Delanie Walker, Kobe Fleener, Tyler Eifert. Like, all those guys went several rounds later.
Yep.
Hate it.
Marcus, how about your team?
Here's the thing. I felt like I was in a situation where there were guys that just kept falling in my lap that maybe threw me off schedule of what I wanted to do, but just seemed too good to pass on. I mean, at the third spot, started with OBJ. Great.
Beautiful.
Come back around, I grab Mike Evans.
Beautiful.
Sweet. Then in the third round, I'm thinking, okay, I should get a running back. I need a running back. But Brandon Marshall was just sitting there.
I handed him right to you.
And I'm, and I, how do I not do that? So I went Brandon Marshall. And then, so this is probably where I got all the way turned around, because in the fourth round, I, again, should have got a running back.
Yep.
And I went off brand a little bit. I went out of character, and I grabbed a quarterback because, again, Cam was sitting there, and I thought, well, let me try something different here. I mean, again, everybody, this is the beauty of a mock draft, is that you can kind of try something different and see how things work out. So I went and I took Cam Newton with but here it is. We're 4 rounds deep in a 12-team mock draft. I don't have a running back. Yeah. So that was my big regret with this one, is that left me chasing. So then I go Ryan Matthews, Frank Gore back-to-back, which,
hey, if they both stay healthy,
I could be
you're great. But now, man, that is about the biggest if I've ever uttered on this podcast.
If was a fifth, we'd all be wasted. So nice.
There is
you like that?
I'll say this. Between the two, there's a 0% chance.
Well, I mean, it doesn't feel – I mean, we just talked about it on this podcast earlier about Ryan Matthews going on the public.
It's the zero RB strategy, man.
So, you know,
wideouts are sick.
I mean, no, literally, zero RBs.
Zero RBs. I mean, because you look at my running backs. It's Matthews. It's Gore. It's Theo Riddick. Paul Perkins.
You get someone on the waiver.
Alfred Morris.
Oh.
Shane Vereen.
Yeah, that's right.
Bird alert.
I grabbed the bird alert with my 15th pick. I felt like if there's one thing, I am starting to preach the gospel of Delanie Walker at the tight end position. I think I reached a little early for him in the ninth
round. You're alone on that mountain with me. I'm not going to follow you up there.
Hey, I know there are other – I believe Rumford Johnny is on that mountain with me, so I'm not completely alone there. I think I probably reached a little too soon for him, but I'm cool with it because I believe. I think he is the best pass-catching option in Tennessee, so I believe there. Like I said, I feel like the first three, maybe even first four rounds were great, and it all went
south. If things go right, your team's going to be great. You're super top-heavy, so you either have to hope to work the waiver wire or that the Cam, Marshall, Evans, Beckham
just
combo
goes
is going to carry you.
Just goes berserk.
Yeah. Cam is basically a running back.
Your depth sucks, but I like your top seven rounds, honestly.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, no, your starting lineup there will be great, assuming the running backs stay healthy.
Right.
All right, Cole. Your last one in the room with your draft. How'd you feel?
I felt great about it. Look, I picked 10th out of 12. Yep. I haven't had an early pick in all these mock drafts we've done yet. I've been picking pretty late. I thought I was going to once again get a value running back. Wasn't the case. That was okay because then DeAndre Hopkins I was able to scoop up with pick 10, which I loved. Round two, I probably should have gone Allen Robinson, but just wanted to see what my team would look like with Dez Bryant. What the heck? Why not?
Yep.
Between Dez and Nuke, I mean, again, 25 touchdowns is an absolute possibility there. Running backs, Carlos Hyde, Deion Lewis, love it. Gio Bernard rounds out that running back core.
Nice.
So I went two wide receivers, three running backs in my first five picks. And to Matt Harmon's point, in my previous mock, you know, I also went early or mid-round, tight end, mid-round quarterback,
yep.
and it just completely screwed up my draft. So I 100% agree with what Matt Harmon is saying. In this year in particular, I'm shying away from mid round quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, look what you got. Look what you got late instead. You got Tyrod Taylor, Zach Miller, and Kirk Cousins in the 10th, 11th, and 12th. Yeah, 10th, 11th, and 12th
yep.
rounds. Like backing up your solid starters and your high upside guys like Lockett, Kenneth Dixon, as you said, Kevin White. So I think you got a solid team here too, James.
Yeah, I'm excited about Kevin White. The more I think about what they're doing there in Chicago, I think Kevin White can really make an impact this year.
Well, now you got Jay Cutler throwing coal on the hype train, getting that thing going. With
I like
Kevin
it.
White,
so. You know it. Now we talked about Kenneth Dixon in the eighth. Okay, here are the picks that came after. Well, first of all, CJ Prosise went one pick before me. So I mean,
you heard he was going to be the number one
DBR? Yeah,
I think Rashad Jennings went two picks before Kenneth Dixon. So listen. Like I'm starting okay here. The picks after me though, okay. Ladarius Green, tight end, Torrey Smith, Larry Fitzgerald, Corey Coleman, who I was considering there, Tavon Austin, who I also was considering, Alan Hearns, who I'm staying away from entirely, Theo Riddick. So again, I wasn't. I mean, you look at the names that came after Kenneth. Who am
right.
I really passing on?
You should have taken Torrey Smith, but I did so.
Okay, not. Excited about Torrey Smith at all, 0%.
You also had the depth at running back earlier where you could take a sleeper like Dixon.
That's true.
You could afford it. You know?
I mean, Jerick McKinnon in round 10, Bilal Powell.
Bilal Powell.
These are not names that I'm getting excited about.
All right, we got to keep moving on here. Let's all pick one of our favorite steals of the draft, and then let's get to these training camp battles. So who wants to start with the steal? Franchise, you got one?
Sure. Every draft we do, Carson Palmer is my favorite pick of the draft.
Woo!
You can get him. So you got him in the ninth round here.
Loved it.
Philip Rivers and Tom Brady went before him. So
I will take
nice
it.
Nice pick.
I will take it.
I like to come back to James' team. I think that the steal he got was Jalen Strong in the 13th round. I'm really warming up to Strong.
Yeah, buddy. Here we go.
I've looked at a couple games for
here
reception.
Here we go.
Perception.
Let's go.
I'm about it. And listen, I think that pretty much all the talk out of Houston's been like Will Fuller's not going to start.
Yeah.
It's
right.
probably going to be Jalen. This has like been a quiet drumbeat that we haven't really listened to yet. That Strong is really making a push for a comeback second season.
Don't,
as long as he doesn't get suspended for getting arrested.
Don't raise his ADP all by yourself now.
I have want to do.
You already have enough people mad at you for Tyler Lockett, among others.
There's a lot of people mad at me.
Yeah, it happens.
And like I like to think that it's like a nice mad.
All right, Marcus, who's your steal of the draft?
I got a couple options here, and they both were fairly close to each other. It was either Willie Snead at the end of the eighth round. Justin Bonema took him at the end of eight. That was solid. And then just a few picks later in the ninth round, Franchise comes back around and gets Marcus Wheat. I mean, like you talk about not listening to the drumbeat of Jalen Strong. I feel like we're not giving enough stock to Marcus Wheaton and what he could potentially do this year in that Steeler offense.
For me, I've got to go to round 13 as well for Rank's pick of Rishard Matthews. Like, he potentially has like the number one receiver in that offense there, and it's his fifth wide receiver. So why the heck not? When other guys, you know, going in that same area are Breshad Perriman, how is his knee going to hold up? I mean, Jeff Janis is the GOAT, but Philip Dorsett, he's the third fiddle there. Terrence Williams, Stevie Johnson, Michael Thomas is a rookie, so I thought that was great value for rank. Ko, who's your steal of the draft?
I like Marcus Wheaton in the ninth. You know, I think that's about right with where he's going. You know, you look at the number of targets that potentially could be coming his way, and I thought he played pretty darn well, too, in Martavis Bryant's absence. So we'll see. Let's talk about training camp battles.
Franchise wrote a banger here, which you can find at NFL.com. We got to get ourselves like Vandy URLs like the ATN guys have. So get like NFL.com/franchise
one
slash Harmon.
One of us
has one. That's not bad.
Yes, one of us does.
Yeah, NFL.com/Marcus Grant. That's what you're talking about, right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. That was
but so franchise, you do a lot more training camp battles that people should pay attention to in the preseason stuff in this piece. But why don't you talk about a couple that we got here just to tease the piece so people can go. And these are ones to watch where there could be a lot of fantasy value depending on how it shakes out.
So let's start with the Baltimore wide receivers.
We've got Kamar Aiken, yep. Mike Wallace, as we mentioned, Breshad Perriman, and Steve Smith eventually coming back at some point.
Look, right now, Aiken is the only guy who actually has a clear role, and his ADP is 14th round on NFL.com.
God, he's a steal there.
He played on 951 snaps last year, which was 15th most in the NFL among wideouts, which is crazy. I don't know why he's going in the 14th round, but if you can get him there, take him all day. He could be a wide receiver 3 this year.
Like Baltimore running backs got a big-time consideration here as well, right?
Oh, yeah, the Baltimore running backs. We got Justin Forsett, Javoris Allen, Kenneth Dixon, who we talked about, and then there's Terrence West and Lorenzo Talifero.
Holy
Look,
cow.
The other day
– Trent Richardson, too. Hey.
Stop. Oh, yeah, Trent Richardson. Yesterday, everyone's talking about a committee in Baltimore, right? And a reporter asked Justin Forsett about it yesterday, and he was like, what do you mean? I don't know what a running back by committee
is. Yeah, he was real cute there.
So, basically, he knows what's going on, and he wants that job, and he's not going to let one of these young guys take it. Is basically he wants to compete. He was on pace for He was on pace for over 1,000 rushing yards last year, and which would have ranked him 8th among running backs.
Broken forearm
and 241 rush attempts on pace for that many 8th, which also would have ranked him 8th. He broke his arm, which isn't a huge concern for a running back,
right?
He's only fumbled, you know, it might be a ball security issue, but he's only fumbled 6 times in like 7 seasons. And then we got Buck Allen.
Criminally overlooked Buck Allen.
Yep. Kind of
really?
touted as a workhorse type coming out of college. Every game that he
I thought
had,
you loved Buck, James.
I like Buck Allen. I liked him a lot, but it's like, I mean, look, again.
Man, James is quickly throwing Buck into the doghouse. Wait, you know what? That must mean Buck Allen's the one to win then, because James hates good running backs like Mark Ingram
true.
And stuff.
That's true.
And Jonathan Stewart.
Not a RB guru over here.
Every game last year that Buck Allen had double-digit carries in, he also had double-digit fantasy points in, except for what week 17 against
him. He averaged 7 targets, I think, in his starts or something like that. He's a good pass catcher as well.
He wasn't super efficient on those. He wasn't able to create a lot afterwards, though.
No.
Right, which is something he's going to work on.
I just think people like completely threw him to the scrap heap after they took Kenneth Dixon, and like they spent pretty similar draft capital on the two of them, too.
It all comes down to Kenneth Dixon for me. You know, I think about what he does well. He is a phenomenal talent catching that ball. And he's playing in a Mark Trestman offense that's going to throw the running back, you know, at least 5 times a game. You know, if not double digits. What did Buck Allen? There was one game where he had like 12 receptions.
Yes. Matt Schaub was just consistently like, I just take that.
Yeah.
All right, let's crush a couple more of these. The Pittsburgh wide receivers. Talk to us
all
about
right.
your team here.
Oh, we talked about Marcus Wheaton already. There's this guy creeping up. Mike Clay from ESPN tweeted yesterday that this guy named Eli Rogers, who I had never heard of.
Me neither.
Apparently looks really good and has a chance to take over the slot role there.
Interesting.
To beat out Marcus Wheaton for the slot role.
Wow.
Well.
So that's definitely something to watch. I don't even know who this guy is.
So can I rescind my good pick in the draft then? Good pick in the mock?
He's a smaller guy, but he's got good burst and explosiveness after the catch. He averaged 44 receptions, 505 receiving yards through 4 years in college and scored a total of 12 touchdowns. So his ceiling is a little low, but
all right.
And lastly, the Bears running backs.
This is
a gross situation, but it's going to be one really to pay attention to because this is going to be a run-first team, and there could be points to mine out of it. But there's a great piece written in the Chicago Tribune about it.
Yeah.
And it, the writer even said, it promises to be hell for fantasy football owners, but Fox wants to limit the back's workload and play the so-called hot hand.
Right. If you want a running back that in a situation that's supposed to be hell for fantasy owners, go ahead and take them. But I'm not going to.
I think Langford and Howard are the ones to own, not until the later rounds. But this is going to be one that's a battle that's really important to watch.
It's all fun and games until Kadeem Carey starting on a Monday night.
There was another.
You know that's going to happen.
There was another post this morning on Chicago Tribune, and the mentions were Langford and Kadeem Carey battling for the 1 and 2 spots, and no mention of Jordan Howard.
I think we are kind of just overlooking Kadeem Carey, too.
Right. And Howard's the rookie, so he's probably got to prove himself to earn snaps there, but he could be the short yardage goal line type vulture situation guy there.
Yeah, old Seeley took him in the 9th round of this mock draft that we did. I would just, you know, we were talking about this morning, franchise. I would just as rather let anybody else take these guys, eventually have to waive them, and then I'll pick them up when they're getting a little bit.
Someone's going to reach for Langford.
Oh, yeah.
Let him reach.
Well, I think at this point, is Langford even being he's falling so far in drafts.
He went in round 6 in this 12-teamer.
That's pretty high.
He went in 7 in our last 10-teamer. So.
Seventh is an okay stab because we know even if he stinks, he has big game potential. Like we saw that last year. You know, you talk about Mike Clay. It's pretty much all Mike Clay's fault that he's even being down this far. Because Mike Clay wrote that big
scathing PFF piece.
But he basically left PFF with this big bomb of a hate piece on Jeremy Langford. He even has in his Twitter profile, it's not personal, Jeremy Langford.
Yeah.
That's a mess. He has gone down so far in fantasy drafts. I mean, you know, look, if he was going the 4th round, okay, I get it. But, you know, I think right now we're seeing him going 7th, 8th round.
He's definitely the front runner for the lead role there. So
check out Franchise's piece. You can just search Matt Franciscovich, NFL.com. We'll have it on NFL.com/fantasy. And don't forget to watch ITC Fantasy Spotlight every day at 12:30 on the network, James? Eastern?
Two p.m. Eastern on NFL Network presented by Mitsubishi Motors.
All right, guys. So now for the surprise segment. Something happened yesterday that I feel we need to address.
Oh, no.
Josh Gordon has really stirred some controversy, I think, in the fantasy community because there are certain guys, Matt Harmon, who's an idiot.
So look, everybody that listens to this podcast and stuff knows that we refer to ourselves as the Fantasy Stronghold and that we're all together, we're out here grinding content, and the key to this stronghold is unity, and we cannot be a fractured unit if we want to continue to dominate the fantasy world and provide great content to our listeners and our viewers and our readers. So that's why we're going to start the fantasy therapy session.
What?
Is this the Feelings Podcast?
So, James,
what is happening
yesterday?
Right now? I don't know.
You said some mean things about Matt. And Matt, I'd like you to tell us how those made you feel.
Oh my God!
Well, I have to say,
what is happening?
Like, this is a little shocking. This is definitely a surprise. You know, I was sitting at my desk just writing away, and out of nowhere, I hear the words because I tune in to see ITC live, and I just hear Matt Harmon, who's an idiot, and it was an emotional roller coaster because you know I'm so vain that anytime I hear my name mentioned, I perk up.
Right.
And then for it to just be pause. Who's an idiot?
Right.
It was a little deflating.
So James, why did you say what you said about Matt?
He said, look, Josh Gordon right now is climbing in mock drafts. We're seeing him go in the 10th round, and that value is rising considerably. why this music? I don't understand.
This is to help us, all right?
My boy over here, Matt Harmon, who is obviously a very, very adept and astute wide receiver evaluator.
Guru.
He says, if you can insulate your team and take Josh Gordon anywhere in between rounds 5 and 7.
Yes, we know that, but why did you say
that
he's an idiot?
Is asinine and idiotic.
Well, luckily,
there's no way I would take Josh Gordon until the double-digit round.
See, here's the thing. Here's the unfair part.
Okay.
Is that you just straight up said, like, you know, without explaining my real thoughts like you just did now,
yes.
For our podcast listeners not on live television, where the nation is watching, you explained the full strategy here. But there you just said, yeah, Matt Harmon would take Josh Gordon in the fifth round because he's an idiot. Luckily, my man Adam Rank had my back and like explained, well, that's not actually what he said. But, you know, here's the thing.
First of all, It is what you said. You said you can take Josh Gordon anywhere.
Guys,
you properly insulate him.
You guys,
that is the most important part.
Hold on.
Neutral corners here, fellas.
Now, this is why we're bringing this into the fantasy therapy session, because this beef is not just between you guys. It impacts all of us here, and two people in this podcast have some words they'd like to share with you. So, Franchise, why don't you start?
What's happening?
Why do I feel like this was not a surprise?
This is a letter I wrote to Matt Harmon.
What? What is...
Matthew, I come to you today as a friend who cares about your well-being in both the present and the future, and I fear you may have lost your grip on reality.
That's probably true.
Behind your back, and only because I care, I spoke to your beloved canine, Charlie.
Oh, this is...
We had a secret rendezvous about your feelings, my feelings, and his feelings.
Oh, my God.
Charlie knows it's been a rough couple of days, but that cute little dog nearly drowned in his own tears when expressing how the recent incident has been absolutely brutal for his owner, and it shows.
What's going on?
The incident at hand all began when Cleveland Browns wide receiver Joshua Caleb Gordon was reinstated into the
league. Yeah, buddy. Here we go.
You eagerly raised your hand to write a thoughtful and well-researched analysis to post on NFL.com.
Yep.
In an effort to help our fantasy fans make an informed decision about where to draft him this season.
It was informed.
You said draft him in rounds 5 to 7,
yep.
But preached caution and insulation with other players. You are the wide receiver guru of the group, after all.
Can we not say guru?
In the article, there were some things that a certain colleague of ours disagreed with. That colleague, James Deco, at James Deco on Twitter, first shared his opinion of your takes via Twitter.com by saying you were wrong, 1,000% wrong.
10 million.
When it comes to where Josh Gordon should be drafted.
All right.
Then, on the Fantasy Live podcast on Tuesday, July 26th,
oh my God,
he made his opinion known once more.
What is happening?
His disgust of your take on Gordon more evident. You argued your point once more, and we all moved on.
Okay.
All of us, except James.
Grudge holder, James Coe.
Hold on. Matt still has more to get off his chest.
There's a little bit more to go here.
Man.
The following day.
What's happening?
This is longer than any article you've written for us.
July 27th. July 28th. James was on live television covering training camp from a fantasy perspective.
ITC Fantasy Live. Yep.
For NFL Network.
Yep.
The topic was the Cleveland Browns, and naturally Josh Gordon came up. At that point, James felt the need to cite your opinion on where to draft him. He proceeded to call you an idiot. Live, on air, in front of trillions of viewers.
Trillions.
The majority of whom also follow you on Twitter.com.
I see.
Majority of trillions.
I gasped in shock. What happened next was, to put it lightly, unimaginable. The trauma you have now endured on Twitter.com as a result of the incident is unrepairable. From the onset, it is clear that James D. Coe had one goal here, and that was to take you down.
What?
His devoted and cruel fans photoshopped his face over yours on your selfie with.
By the way, those people don't even follow me.
Hey, I was one of them.
I was gonna say,
not even my followers.
Those fans were Alex Gelhar right over there behind the glass.
Hi.
Well, they photoshopped James Coe's face over you on your selfie of Allen Robinson, and also cropped his name over yours on your podcast
that was
logo,
that
The
was
Backyard
rough.
Banter,
that was...
available on thebackyardbanter.com, iTunes, and Stitcher.
All right, you got a little promo. Thank you.
It rapidly became apparent that you were crumbling under the pressure.
Oh, my God.
You responded on Twitter.com with a Mr. Krabs blurry meme. Your headshot received the crying Jordan treatment.
Oh.
No surprise there. You began an out-of-control downward spiral.
Out of control?
I'm almost done.
Oh. Thankfully.
The worst part? All of this happened mere moments before you had to cram into a small, stuffy studio to record a Tyler Lockett hit for an NFL Now segment hosted by none other than James D. Coe.
Sabotage.
At James Deco on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
On camera, what the tension was palpable.
It
but
was.
But you worked through it well, and I commend you for that.
We're
Matthew.
Both professionals.
Thank you.
Okay.
But you may not be aware of the effect that this incident has had on the fantasy stronghold, and to be selfish, myself as well. Even though most of this happened yesterday, I haven't eaten in weeks.
That seems like a you problem.
I'm a shell of the man I was before the incident. I can't think, write, or sleep, and I've spent the last of my life savings at Kinko's on flyers to post around Los Angeles asking for tweets in support of your Josh Gordon takes.
Oh, my God.
You may not know this, but we've grown apart in the hours, days, weeks, and months since the incident yesterday. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. Please, for my sake, make amends with James Deco at James Deco on Twitter.
All right. Now, Marcus.
I'm done.
Marcus
I'm done.
Has some additional thoughts he needs to share with
oh my
you,
God.
James.
That is the longest piece you've ever written
yeah.
for
hey,
us.
Hey, this is
it's possible.
This is about you and Matt right now. So, Marcus.
James.
Oh, my God.
I want to start by letting you know that this isn't easy for me.
Oh, my God. What's
but it? I want you to know that you are loved and you are in a safe space. I also want you to know that I understand why you felt why you had to say what you said about Matt. You know, it was either Friedrich Nietzsche or Michael Irvin who said, Father Time is undefeated. Eventually, Dad Bod comes for us all. Before you know it, some hotshot kid with great hair, a hipster
great hair.
Beard,
yep.
photogenic dog.
Yep.
And an overly detailed but cleverly internet-branded evaluation mechanism
yes.
designed to predict the variance of outcomes for a position quickly becoming oversaturated with talent starts to steal a little bit of your shine.
Okay.
Boom.
So what do you do?
That's what it is.
In a fit of jealousy, you use a national platform heretofore off-limits to this young man,
fit of
and
jealousy.
You use it to lash out at him. Sure. In the moment, it got a laugh, and maybe I made an extra effort to make sure the video team clipped it so we could all post it on
I know,
Twitter
exactly.
and have ourselves a good time. But that is beside the point.
It's like you let it live on.
The point is, James, words hurt. And they don't just hurt the person they're directed at. They hurt us all.
You said I ethered him. I didn't ether him.
You know, as far back as I can remember.
I felt ethered.
I always wanted to be part of a group. I always wanted to belong.
Okay.
And when we formed the Fantasy Stronghold, I knew I had found something special.
All right.
Eventually, our Fantasy 4-pack expanded to add new members, including you, James.
That's true.
Before long, we were a whole case. We were the champagne of fantasy beers. We were living the high life.
Oh, yeah.
Until Thursday, that is. The party now is in jeopardy because one of our bottles is broken. And when one bottle is broken, it risks saturating the entire case and making it unstable for the rest of the bottles. We have to help fix the broken bottle, James.
That is a great analogy.
I mean, did you ever stop to think that maybe some of us could be jealous of you? As a kid growing up in the Bay Area, I roared for the California Golden Bears.
Okay.
I wanted handles like Jason Kidd. I wanted to coach like Todd Bozeman. I wanted to grab a slice at Blondie's Pizza and shop at Rasputin Records every single day. Were it not for the fact that Berkeley was just far too close to home, and that I was accepted at a far superior athletic Pac-12 school, I could have been a Golden Bear just like you.
This is...
And no matter...
We're entering slander territory.
No matter how jealous I was that you, or any other Cal alum for that matter, has never known the incredible burden of getting up early on New Year's Day to make sure you get a great tailgate spot at the Rose Bowl.
How dare you.
I held my tongue. Envy is an evil monster if you don't keep it in check, James. Instead, I took joy in knowing that we both held the same disdain for that grotesque mockery of a tree in Palo Alto.
That is true.
And that we both wondered why that college in Westwood couldn't get its own damn fight song.
That's accurate.
Sure. I mean, we might give each other a hard time. That's what family does. When you wore a jean jacket to work, we had jokes. We had lots of jokes. We had lots and lots
oh
of jokes.
Oh, my God.
But they remained amongst us in the stronghold. And the few thousand people who saw it on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Or the tens of thousands more who might have heard us talk about it on the podcast. Right. But that's it. That's as far as it went.
Right. Trillions.
Not the trillions on television.
But you, James Coe, you went to a national television audience with your slights. That is a bridge too far. A wise man once told me, you can't chew your food if you don't have any teeth. I don't know how that applies to the situation. It just popped in my head while I was writing this. I was up late.
Is Matt Harmon going to punch me in the face?
I should have.
No.
Look, There is one thing I do know.
Violence doesn't solve problems.
Guys. And you know it too.
Okay.
You know it too, James. You know that there is a sturdy golden bear. Yes. And he's watching from the skies.
Okay.
What do you think
he sees? Oski's dead now? I don't understand.
What do you think he sees, James? Are his stalwarts girded for the fray? Will they strive for victory?
Okay.
Instead, right. You were simply on the prowl, and from stage one, you fiercely growled.
I did.
Gurrah.
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 Yep.
Gurrah.
Yep. Okay.
The time to begin healing is now, James. Put away your petty jealousies. Banish any ill will from your heart. And know that no matter how much internet adoration Matt Harmon gets, at least you never lived in West Virginia. What? Neither have I!
I'm
asking you, James Cone, to help us live up
to
the emotional blue-eyed soul lamentations of Steve Winwood and get us back in the high life again.
Holy cow.
We love you, James Coe.
This segment
has gone
on for so long.
It went off the rails, but it's to a purpose. Can you two?
By the way, this is not a surprise segment. It's only a surprise to two people in this room.
Yes,
and
I know.
Only two.
The two that needed to have this discussion. So can you guys now make amends for the sake of the fantasy stronghold and bring us back
together again? First of all, okay, people on Twitter need to call. It's much more fun to have the narrative. Like, I don't like the fact that Harmon is ruining the narrative by saying, oh, James Coe, help me out. Like, no, that's not a great narrative. It's a better narrative that we hate each other. That's the better narrative.
I don't fend off negativity. I don't feed off that.
You guys,
I feed off
not just listen to the last 15 minutes of this podcast. Very
listen,
emotional, heartfelt letters.
I was, to be clear, one of my daily daps was going to be to James Coe for literally lifting reception perception up into video form for knocking heads around, figuratively,
yes.
Not literally, because
violence solves
bad.
Nothing. Right.
To get it to that point, I was going to daily dap my friend to that. But listen, if you want the narrative to continue that we hate each other, it can.
I think
truth,
it's a better
truth.
Narrative.
Truth. But I like truth. But I like truth because I do love you.
Okay.
And that's how
truth
I feel.
Is
how
you hate each other.
I hope this session spoke to both of you, and if need be, we will bring it back in the future.
Easily the worst segment we've done.
Right. Daily daps?
Daily daps.
This is the day. Give me daps, cause I be scribbling rap. Give me dabbing up depths
about depths. Oh my god. What did we do?
This, I don't know.
We changed lives.
Is this podcast going to be like 3 hours
long? We changed some lives.
It's slightly over an hour at the moment.
Okay. All right. Daily daps. Let's do it. Marcus Grant, give me one.
I just have one today. I want a daily dap my sister. It is her birthday.
Hey.
Nice.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Shields. I love you. You're not going to like this, but you'll always be my little sister.
All right.
We will talk soon. Hopefully, I will see you soon. But I love you and happy birthday.
Franchise Daily Dap.
All right. To my favorite band. One of my favorite bands right now is called Glass Animals.
Ooh,
and they have some new music coming in an album, I think, later next month. Check them out on Spotify.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay. Alex Gellar, what's good from Wisconsin?
I got a Daily Dap. Brandon McGinnis, the Irishman, who's the producer of the ATN podcast because he helped hook me up with both those songs. The long version of your rant on NFL Network, and now just this one that we have forever.
Matt Harmon, who's an idiot.
So
sure, that won't come in handy.
Whenever we need that one, we've got it. So Daily Dap, the Irishman, Brandon McGinnis, for forever instilling this in the Fantasy Live podcast.
Matt Harmon, who's an idiot.
I love it.
Great.
I love it. Matt Harmon, give me one.
So I'm going to actually have a sister-related Daily Dap as well. My sister has a dog as well. He's actually more of like a horse, which is shocking that I'm, you know, about 6'2", 6'3", 210 pounds with this tiny little 13-pound dog, and she's, you know, a normal-sized female with this behemoth of an animal. But he just got his operation to make sure he does not
create more horses. Okay.
Seriously, this dog is a monster. I can't get over how big he is. But she was texting and calling me 2 days ago like, oh my God, he's all depressed looking, and he just looks so he's not doing anything. I was like, "Em, that's what happens." I was like, "He just cut his nuts off." That's like, what do you expect to happen?
That's a hard time.
But so I got the update from her yesterday. Bentley, the dog's name, is doing very well, and he's back to being a complete and total terror of a creation. So daily daps to Bentley and Emily, my sister, my younger sister. They're pulling through this tough time together.
Lovely. Daily daps to Matt Harmon's followers, by the way. It's like this got out on Twitter, and the mentions for me just got lit. I mean, it was crazy. It's crazy how much they come to your defense. It is amazing.
They love me more than anybody that's ever met me in real life.
Probably because they haven't met you in real life.
Yeah, combined. Well, there's some people that have met me in real life, and I've been able to trick them as well. But,
it is amazing. Your Twitter followers just came after
me.
Yeah,
shouts to them, man. They're a passionate bunch.
The majority of the trillions.
The majority of the trillions.
Right. The majority of the trillions. I like it. So, I got another daily dap. How about Cal? I know I daily dap them all the time, but actually I don't. But
why not?
Here's the thing. Cal is doing a Marshawn Lynch bobblehead giveaway.
Oh, my
phenomenal.
God.
This is great.
I want
phenomenal.
One so bad.
The bobblehead is Marshawn Lynch on the injury cart rolling around. But this is a callback to when Cal beat Washington. This is the Cal-Washington game. This is back when Cal beat Washington when Marshawn Lynch was on the team. And in the post-victory celebration, he was rolling around.
He was driving it.
He basically
tried
driving it.
Ghost ride the whip.
He was ghost riding the injury cart. It was
all over the
so
field.
Cool.
It's an amazing video. You just do like Marshawn Lynch injury cart. On YouTube and you'll find it.
And that is – that's beast mode, right?
That's such a brilliant bobblehead. Like, I saw it. I have no affinity for – I mean, they gave me Aaron Rodgers for the Packers and stuff.
Right.
But I was like – I will pay a stupid amount of money for one of those.
Get one of these.
Like if somebody gets
That's
one or they
saying.
Get a couple and they're like, oh, we've got one in our house. We don't need the other one. Hit me up on Twitter.
Like, yep. It's so props to them. What a creative
bobblehead.
So
clever.
So creative. It's so good. Anyways, that's
By the way, before we get out of here, Andre Johnson just signed with the Titans.
Yeah. This is the thing that
happened. I was going to say, yeah, to quote Marcus Grant's quote tweet on the matter, here's a thing that happened.
Oh boy. All right. Well, breaking news. Sign up today. NFL.com/draftkit. Watch ITC. And for the fan league, keep rating and subscribing to the podcast on iTunes.
There you go. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, for the Beard franchise, for MG, my guy Marcus Grant, and Matt Harmon, the wide receiver guru. I'm James Gill. We're out.